Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I review 2004's The Perfect Score. Hi guys, welcome to the show. I will be reviewing The Perfect Score, but before I do that, I will be talking about things I watched this week. Everybody knows this segment by now if you've been listening to the podcast. So let's get into it. I watched the second part of the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO. I watched the first part last week where they were pretty much just talking about how he came to prominence. Well, this second part is about the downfall. So they talk about the this one talks about the affairs that he had on his wife. They talk about his injuries. They talk about his opiate addictions. They go into all of that in this one. They talk to this lady. They talk to one of his mistresses, named Rachel Yucatel. On this episode, they ended with her, so they start with her here. They talk about how there's another chick on here that she used to be like his liaisons in Vegas. Because like he started going to Vegas, I think after the loss of his father. After the loss of his father, he started going to Vegas and he was hanging out with Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley. And he was out here getting hoes, pretty much. And they talked about how shy and kind of like, you know, recluse he was at first. But like Michael Jordan really broke him out of his shell because he asked Michael Jordan, "What do I say to these women?" And Michael Jordan just said, "Say you're Tiger fucking Woods." That's what he said. Just tell them you're Tiger fucking Woods. That's what you say. Because you're rich and you can do whatever the fuck you want now. But anyway, he was getting involved with these women the first time he had an extramarital affair is with this woman named, what was her name? I think her name was, god dang it, they said her name and I already forgot. Shit. What was her name? She was like a waitress. They said her name like a bunch of times and I forgot her goddamn name. Not Tiffany, because Tiffany was the liaison's lady. But he got into it with a waitress. It was a waitress at a restaurant. He got into a relationship with a waitress at a restaurant. And that was like his first extramarital affair, I believe, because like they talked about her a lot, and she was pretty much, she seemed like she was pretty much the key to him stepping out on his wife. But like he had, and like they were saying, like he couldn't wait. They were like fucking it. They was like fucking in the garage. They said they were talking about like the National Enquirer was on his ass. You know, like the National Enquirer, they were like fucking following him. And they were getting pictures and all this shit. They were talking about like he took this girl in the garage and they couldn't wait. He was like fucking her. He was fucking her in the garage on a golf cart. Like he had a golf cart in his garage. And he was like fucking her. He was like fucking her on the golf cart. And they were saying like that. And the girl don't look better than his wife. The girl he was fucking with don't look better than his wife. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies. If any ladies are watching this, I'm going to tell you about how men cheat. Okay? I know some guys will be like, "Oh, man, you're being a fucking traitor. Don't give away the secrets." But I'm not a cheater, so I don't give a fuck. I don't give a shit. I'm going to tell you how men cheat. Men fuck who's close to them, pretty much. That's what we do. Dave Chappelle had a joke about that too. He was like, we fuck who's close to us, you know. Like I think when he was talking about Clinton and Lewinsky, He was talking about that. But anyway, man, fuck who's close to them. And he just happened to go to this restaurant all the time, and she was giving him a little rhythm, and he was like, oh, wow, I'm gonna stick my dick in that. Because if you notice, whoever a man cheats with, she don't look better than his wife. My wife and I were talking about that last night, because she was watching the Tiger Woods documentary with me, too. And I was telling her, I was like, don't get mad when the woman that a man cheats with isn't better looking than you. You know, like, it isn't better looking than the wife or the girlfriend or whatever, because we're just going to cheat with who is close to us and who's showing us a good time. Look at Chris Watts. He went with that girl. She doesn't look better than his wife. She doesn't look better than his wife at all. But he went with that girl because she was nice to him and they were having fun. Okay, and his wife was being a ball-busting bitch, so he wanted to get away from that. It ended deadly because he killed his wife and his kids. I wouldn't have gone that far, you know, because it's like all these guys that kill their wives to go off with these other women, they always look like women that work at like Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, like you're a waitress at Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, and, you know, I'm just saying. You know, like, don't expect a woman to look better than you. That's what I'm saying. They're like, oh my god, you cheated on me with that? It's about affection, okay? Men are very, we don't like to show it very much, but we're very, deep down inside, we're very affectionate creatures. And it's about how you fucking treat us. It really is. It's about how you fucking treat us. And if you're treating us like shit, you know, like, we're gonna go and be with a girl, don't matter how ugly she is. It don't matter how ugly she is. If she's treating us nice, we're gonna stick our dick in her. Okay? That's what we're gonna do. I'm sorry. But anyway, Tiger was fucking with all these girls. Tiger was fucking with all these women. National Enquirer put him out there. They talked about the car. I remember the car accident. Man, do I remember the car accident. Cause I remember everybody being on end and like being nervous. They're like, oh my God, Tiger Woods got, the car accident. Is it going to be okay? Is it going to be all right? They said he's not doing well, you know, and all this shit. And then you found out, like, I think it took like a day or a week for everybody to find out. It was like, oh, he got in the car accident because his wife was chasing his ass with a fucking golf club. She was chasing the shit out of him with a golf club. And because she found out about, because Rachel Yucatel, like his main, that was Rachel Yucatel was his main hoe. She was the main one. He called her, I think, on Thanksgiving. And his wife found out. He put her on the phone. It's great. He like put her on the phone just to let her know that nothing was going on. And she was like, she played along, but his wife picked up his phone and she answered. Rachel Yucatel could answer. And his wife said, I knew it was you. And and she whipped Tiger's ass. She whipped his ass. He ran out of his house. Got into his car. And then he crashed into a fucking fire hydrant. That's what happened. I think everybody knows the fucking story. But anyway, yeah, that's what happened. It took like a day later to find out. Like, oh, Tiger was cheating. And then people were like, Tiger Woods was cheating? What the fuck? So, and I was telling my wife about this. Because they had Brian Gumbel on here, and Brian Gumbel was saying, talking about, you know, how famous black men have to cope with this shit, you know, because whatever a famous black man does affects all black men, you know, and I was like, he's right, you know, I was like, he's fucking right. And I was like, that's the plight of a black man. Whatever black man is fucking up, it reflects on all black men. And it sucks.
It really does. It sucks. Because they're going to be looking at Tiger. They're going to be looking at Tiger as a cheater. And they're going to think, like, a guy like me is a cheater. And I've never cheated in my goddamn life. You know, like, ever. I was like, I'm a very faithful man. And they're going to be looking at me like, oh, he must be a dog too. You know, but Brian Gumbel had a point about that. And if I could find a clip, I'll probably hook it to like my Facebook, or if I can like get it on my Instagram, I'll probably get it to do something to it and get it on my Instagram. But like, cause like it's a very poignant statement that Brian Gumbel was saying. You know, if I could find the shit, I'll find it. Cause like, I'm butchering it. Cause he was just pretty much talking about whenever one black man fucks up, it looks bad for all black men. Is what he was saying. But anyway, yeah, that was that. And then they were talking about all the people making jokes about him and the scandal and shit. And that Rachel, you could tell chick is fucking delusional, by the way. Talking about her, she's fucking delusional. She actually thought she was in a relationship with Tiger Woods. That's what she wanted to say. She wanted to think that she was actually in a relationship with Tiger Woods. You're not in a relationship with Tiger Woods. He's a married man, honey. He's a married fucking man. You're not in a relationship with a married man. You're like, use a side chick. Okay, you're one of his many, many side chicks. But yeah, and then they started talking about his injuries. Like, he had two bad knees and a bad back. He actually broke his leg, I think, at the U.S. Open. He won the U.S. Open with a broken leg. It was painful to see. It was painful to fucking see. But like he went through his downfall for a little bit. You know, he got hooked on like prescription pills. They showed when he got arrested. He started like pretty much shutting himself off. The one thing that pissed me off was the fucking the chairman of the not the chairman of the PGA, the chairman of the Masters, talking down to Tiger Woods. Like, he was supposed to be like this exemplary Negro, and he let him down or some shit. And it was like, and Brian Gumbel again. I gotta say, Brian Gumbel again. He was like, who the hell are you to talk down to Tiger Woods? He didn't do anything to you. You know, he said, like, he didn't do anything to you. He didn't disappoint you. You know, he was like, it was like, yeah, he has the right to apologize to his wife. Yeah, he has the right to apologize to his kids. Yeah, he has the right to apologize to his mother. But he doesn't owe an apology to you. That's what Brian Gumbel said. I was like, yeah, you're right, Brian Gumbel. You know, so he doesn't owe an apology to him. Fuck him. But anyway, yeah. But yeah, man, look, if you want to check out the whole documentary, I'm not going to give you a whole play-by-play of the goddamn documentary. You can check it out for yourself. It's on HBO Max. I think they play it on HBO, so if you have HBO, you can watch it on there. But if you have HBO Max, you can watch it on HBO Max. Also, very, very interesting documentary. Very interesting. If you want to check it out, go check it out. That's pretty much that. I also watched WandaVision this past weekend. I like it. What else can I say? I fucking like it. I like the first, because they only show like the first two episodes. You gotta wait next week for, it's gonna be like a week. It's gonna be like what they did with The Mandalorian. It's week by week by week, you know, episodes. I think it's 9 episodes. I already watched 2, so there's like, what, 7 left. But I like how they stick with the sitcom formula in this show. Like, the first episode is a 1950s sitcom. Straight up. It's a straight up 1950s sitcom. Like, they do not waver from the 1950s sitcom category I think the second one they moved, the second episode they moved to the 60s. It's like they're going, decade to decade. The first one was the 50s. It was kind of like a Dick Van Dyke Show type of episode. The second one was more of a Bewitched type of episode. And they're in the 60s. I think like the next episode they'll probably go to the 70s. And then like the 80s, so on and so forth, whatever. But I like how they're committed. I like how committed they are to the sitcom formula. And they don't break from it. They only break from it for a little bit. Because the first episode, they break from it at the end of the episode where Wanda starts kind of having like a little episode at the end. And with her, you tell she was like, her reality was coming to life. You know, you could tell her reality was coming to life and she was stepping out of it. She was stepping out of that universe that she made for herself. Very, very House of Emmy. If you ever read House of M, she kind of does something similar like that in House of M. Check that. You can check that series out if you want to learn more. And also Vision had a book like that also where it was like his robot family. Yeah, robot family. You can check those. You can check those two. Those are two books you want to check out if you're watching WandaVision. House of M and Vision's solo comic book. You want to check those two out. I love... They got Monica Rambeau in the second episode. They don't reveal that she's Monica Rambeau yet. I feel like they're going to do that. They're going to do that later on. Slow build, man. I love the slow build. That's sometimes when shows slow build, it's kind of boring, but this one kept my attention the whole time because I can't wait. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. Episode 3 is next Friday. I hope it's next Friday. I'm not really sure when these episodes are going to air. But like the first two episodes aired Friday. I'm guessing they're going to be every Friday, which is good for me. Which is good for me so I can stay up late and watch these episodes on Fridays. So that's cool. But yeah, man, I'm loving it. I'm loving it so far. It's good. I'll be back with my review for A Perfect Score after these messages. Today's episode is brought to you by Fanatics. Fanatics is the world's largest collection of official fan gear from all the leagues, teams, and players you love. If you enjoy our show and are looking to buy a new jersey, sweatshirt, or hat, you can support us by going to podgo.co/fanatics and get 25% off your next order. That's podgo.co/fanatics. Fanatics, officially licensed everything. Hi guys and welcome back to the show. Perfect Score 2004. You know, I like to start the review off. I like to start the review off of how I saw the movie as a kid. I saw this movie in the theater actually with my dad. Also saw this in a awkward time of my life. I had just graduated high school and took a year off to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, which didn't sit well with my parents, you know. My parents didn't take that shit too good. I actually graduated high school in 2003, and I took like 2004 off. I didn't go back to school until 2005. I took a whole year off to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, and like I said, didn't sit too well with my parents. Because the black parents ain't gonna let you sit on your ass and let you figure out what you want to do with your life, you know, like, get the fuck out of my house, pretty much. But that's pretty much it. So like, I got like that whole year I got fucking nagged, you know. Like that whole, I remember that 2004 was not a great year for me. I got nagged that whole goddamn year. I was 18 years old, and they were just like, what the fuck are you doing?
what the fuck are you gonna do? He's like, have you figured out? Have you figured out? Are you going to college? You know, like, what the fuck are you doing? You can't sit on my couch all fucking day eating Cheetos. You know, like, you know, you got to get the fuck out. You got to get a job. You got to do something. Because you can't be sitting up here wasting your life away. You know, some shit like that. Because, like, I was very confused at the time. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, like, I was writing scripts, you know, at the time. I was writing scripts at the time. So I thought I wanted to be a film writer. There was a point in time where I thought I wanted to be a musician. I had a guitar and I thought I wanted to be a musician and be in a metal band. And then there was a time I wanted to be a pro wrestler. Actually, I wanted to be a pro wrestler. I did, like I was going to go to, I was going to go down to Florida and become a wrestler, but nobody would give me the money. But so, like, nobody, it was like, oh God, you want to be a fucking wrestler? But anyway, but yeah, it was like, I knew I wanted to do something that entertained people, and now I'm a podcaster, so, I ended up getting into IT. Ended up getting into information technology. That's what I went to school for. So, like, I've been doing that for, like, the past, 12 years? You know, I want to say I've been in the information technology field for, like, the past 12 years. You know, in different capacities. So, that was pretty much my position. I was a teacher for a little bit too, you know, like I was a teacher for a little bit. I was teaching computers for a little bit at a middle school. So I did that for a little bit, and then I was at it, and then I was like, I had like a job for 5 years at a community college, you know. So all in the information technology field. So like that's what I ended up doing. And I hate it, you know, like, which is now I'm doing podcasting now, and it's going okay for me right now. So far, I'm like I'm making a little bit of profit from it. I got a day job too, so don't worry. You know, I got a day job too. I do like freelance notary, so I do that also. So that's how I support my family. So but yeah, because like I got out of the technology field. It's just not for me. So, like I just got tired of it, man. I got tired of it. Even teaching it fucking sucks, you know. So I just got out of it. Now I'm doing notary. So that's what I do now. I go and fucking notarize documents. Freelance. But anyway, enough about me. But the roundabout thing is, like, I related to this movie a lot at the time. That's what I was trying to get at. So, like, I was like a bunch of kids just trying to figure out what the fuck they wanted to do with their life. You know, so, like, this movie talked to me at 18 years old. But, anyway, let's get into the plot. This movie was directed by Brian Robbins, who directed other middle of the road movies like Good Burger, Varsity Blues, and Hardball. And now he's the president of Nickelodeon. He's the president of Nickelodeon now. Good for him. The screenplay was written by Mark Hyman, John Zack, and Mark. I'm about to butcher this name, but fuck this dude after I read up about this dude. Mark Schwann. I say fuck Mark Schwann because he's got a whole bunch of sexual harassment allegations against him. Just a bunch of middle-of-the-road writers. They write shit, but they also, like, fix script. They're like script doctors, pretty much. You know, like, you take your, you write a script and then you take it to them and then, like, they, like, polish it up and shit. That's pretty much what those guys are. They're fucking script doctors. I'm going to add a new segment to the podcast. This is going to be the first time I add this to the podcast. I'm going to talk about how much money it made at the box office and talk about his Rotten Tomatoes score. So this is a new thing. The movie was considered a flop. It only made $10 million off of a $40 million budget. This movie cost $40 million to make. If you look at it, you don't see it because there's no special effects. There's no special effects that, like, the wardrobe. Like, I don't know where they spent that money. They must have went to Hooters with the rest of that money. I don't know. They must have went to, like, Magic City or some shit with the rest of that money, because I don't know. But it also has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 16%, which is terrible. So it's rotten. It's fucking rotten. But anyway, let's get into the plot. It's six high school students. They team up to steal the ACT. The SAT. Chris Evans is the lead in this movie. He plays Kyle, who wants to get into Cornell. Then we got his friend Matt, played by Brian Greenberg. He just wants to follow his girlfriend to Maryland. She's in college in Maryland. We got Scarlett Johansson, who plays Francesca, who's just an angsty rich girl with daddy issues. Then we got Erica Christensen as Anna. She's the smart girl who's afraid to fail, pretty much. We got Darius Miles, who plays Desmond, a basketball player who needs a score of 900 to get into St. John's University. And we have Leonardo Nam, who plays a stoner named Roy, who just does shit. You know? But anyway, yeah, we want to get into the characters and the actors who played these characters. This is Chris Evans' second film, by the way. Like, this is only his second major studio movie. I think he did something in between this, but like, a lot of people didn't see it. It doesn't really count. So, like, this is like his second major studio film. His first was Not Another Teen Movie. But in his film, like, you can't really gauge his acting ability. Like, he really plays it safe in this role. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't know if he's good or if he's terrible. You know? You see bursts of greatness in this role, but then, like, you kind of, like, you know, like, yeah, he needs a little bit more work. You know, that's Chris Evans here, but, like, it's only his second film. Same with the guy that plays his best friend, Brian Greenberg. Like, you can't really gauge if he's a good actor or not. Like, both those guys, like, really stay in a safe zone in this movie. Scarlett Johansson is a natural, man. Like, she just has it, you know? Like, she's had it from the jump, man. She's just really good. Leonardo Nam is good in the role he's in. He's pretty much the comedy relief of the movie. Wish I saw him in more things. I looked at his filmography. Looked like he was in a lot. He was in a lot that I've never seen. He's on Westworld. I don't watch Westworld. I think he's good, actually. I think that guy's good in the role he's in, because, like, I didn't even know he was Australian, and I didn't know he was gay. First off, I had to do research on this dude. I was like, wait, he's Australian and he's gay? He had a great job here, you know. I think, on the other hand, Erica Christensen and Darius Miles are fucking terrible. Good lord, they're bad. They're both fucking bad. Like, both of them look like deer in the headlights in this movie. Both of them. They're both just fucking, like, their acting is stilted. It's like, it looks like both those guys, like, look like you gotta tell them where to go. You gotta tell them when to come in. You gotta tell them when to queue. You gotta do all this shit. You know, they're not good. But yeah, there's not really much in this movie, to be honest. It's like, I watched this movie and I was like, what am I gonna get out of this movie? Am I gonna get anything out of this movie? It's like, cause like, this movie is really like watching paint dry. This is The Net all over again. Remember when I reviewed The Net and I really didn't have a lot to say about it? That's this movie. This movie is like the fucking Net. It's like, I liked this movie when I was a teenager because I related to it at the time. But, like, I look at it now and it was like, this movie's fucking like watching paint dry. It really is. The only thing I got is the sexualization of, like, Scarlett Johansson in this movie is off the chart. You know, just off the chart. She's 19 years old, I think, in this movie. or 18. She's 18 or 19 here. This is 2004. So I want to say she's 18. She's 18. Is she? No, she's 19. She's 19. Because she was born in 84. So, like, she's 19 years old here. And her birthday's late, so she was about to turn 20. But, like, she's 19 years old here, and, like, the sexualization of her in this movie is just downright disgusting at some points, you know? They're like, they do a panty shot of her. She's, like, wearing, like, cherry panties for some reason. You know, I guess they were saying, like, they want to bust her cherry, but, like, that's what they do in Hollywood, man. They do this a lot in Hollywood. They can't wait for girls to grow up so they can fuck them. My wife has a story like this because she actually grew up in Los Angeles. And she also looks like Scarlett Johansson, by the way. My wife looks like a black Scarlett Johansson. It's weird because she looks like a cross between Scarlett Johansson and the black girl that played Tootie on Facts of Life. You know, the actress who played Tootie on Facts of Life. Like, she's an amalgamation of both of them. It's weird, but it's fucking sexy for some reason. Because Kim Fields is not. Her name is the actress that plays Tootie is Kim Fields. Because Kim Fields is not a bad looking woman. She's a pretty woman. And my wife has an actor. She said I look like a black Casey Affleck for some reason. I'm like, Casey Affleck? I look like Casey Affleck? I don't even look like Ben Affleck. I was like, you're like, I look like his brother that got accused of sexual harassment. Oh God! And like, that's who I look like. But anyway, but like, I use it. Yeah, I get like. She told me I look like Casey Affleck. There's some people that say I look like Tiger Woods. I was like, okay. Whatever, nigga. But there's some people that say I look like Kanye West. I get a lot of weird celebrity lookalikes. But my wife says I look like, if I was white, I'd be Casey Affleck. So, but anyway, but if she was white, she'd be Scarlett Johansson. You know, that's who she'd be. But like I say, like the sexualization of this girl. But like I was saying, my wife had a story about this shit. She had an audition for Nickelodeon actually, and she said she was 13. I think she said she was either 12 or 13 years old, and like she was auditioning. She was actually auditioning for All That, I believe. I don't know if my wife wants me to say this because like, my wife is very secretive, and she was like, oh my God, you put my business out there in the street, but it's good, it's good entertainment. If my wife listens to the podcast, she's been on the podcast a couple of times, I gotta pad this goddamn podcast out, okay, honey? And this movie's not at all interesting enough, so I gotta pad this shit out. So, my wife had a story about that. Where I think she was like 12 or 13 years old, and she was auditioning. I believe she said she was auditioning for All That because she's from Los Angeles. And I think she was auditioning for the Amanda Bynes role, actually, with the role that eventually went to Amanda Bynes. And she was talking about how enamored these grown men were with her, like grown white men. were enamored with her because my wife was very adult looking for her age. She was like 12 or 13 years old, but she looked older than what she was. She developed at an early age, and she was talking about how fucking like just enamored these old white men were with her, and how they really wanted her on the show. They really wanted her on the show. But her brother auditioned too for the show, and like they didn't want him at all. She said like they didn't want him at all, and she and her mother said that she turned it down for her, because even my wife was like, I don't she's like, she was talking about how she didn't like the atmosphere because they were like sexualizing, they were pretty much like sexualizing little girls. You know, and, like, they were sexualizing her. And
So she was like, I don't want to do the show. And that's how Amanda Bynes got the role, I guess. Like, you know, I don't know what happened after that, but Amanda Bynes was on All That instead of my wife. But she said they liked her. The Nickelodeon people liked her. She auditioned for Nickelodeon, and the Nickelodeon people liked her a lot. But yeah, but like that's what they do. They sexualize young girls in that fucking industry, man. And it's kind of fucking sick, you know? It's like they couldn't wait for Scarlett Johansson to grow the fuck up so they could say, man, I want to fuck the shit out of her. You know, because Scarlett Johansson is another girl that looks older than what she is. You know, I was also looking at this documentary called Showbiz Kids, and Mila Jovovich from the Resident Evil movie, she was talking about that. She was talking about how they sexualized her and how she looked older than what she was, because she started acting when she was 10, but she looked older than what she was. She looked like she was like 18 or some shit. And that was the same thing with my wife. My wife looked 18 years old at like 13, you know. So I've seen pictures of her when she was 13. I was like, you took this picture yesterday when we first started dating? I was like, you took this picture yesterday? She's like, no, I was 13 in that picture. I was like, what? You know. But anyway, yeah, but like, they sexualize young girls in that industry, and it's kind of sickening. And sometimes I feel sorry for Scarlett Johansson and how she has to live up to this sexiest woman alive role, you know? You know, because, like, I've seen interviews with her. She seems like a cool chick, you know? Like, she seems like this cool, down-to-earth woman. And it's, like, it's kind of sad that she has to live up to this role, you know? But anyway, those other things in this movie. Matthew Lillard is fucking annoying in this film. He's, like, just being Matthew Lillard. You know, like he is a lot. He's like, hey man, what's going on? All this shit. But yeah, I really don't have a lot to say about this movie. I watched the movie. I wanted to see how it was. I was like, shit, I'm not gonna get anything out of this, am I? I'm not gonna get a fucking thing out of this movie. It's not a terrible movie. It's just a boring movie. You know, it's fucking boring. Other than the guy that plays Roy, he's okay. But as like I said, Scarlett Johansson is it. She's got the acting chops. She's had it from since she was a little kid. But yeah, man, it's just nothing there. This is like a movie that you would have on a doctor's office. This is a great movie for a doctor's office. You know how you watch movies, you go to the doctor's office and they got the TV on, it's on like FX or like TNT or some shit, and like there's a movie on and you're just, okay, I'll watch this while I'm waiting. That's the perfect score. That's this movie. Like, it's not a terrible movie, but it's not a great movie. It's just in between and it's kind of boring and like there's really nothing to it. I'm not going to be harsh to this movie. I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. It's like middle of the road. Join me next week when I review when this movie came out? I forgot now. I think it came out in 1987. The 1987 classic Adventures in Babysitting. Catch you guys later. Peace out.